This is the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast, session 19.
Welcome to the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson, where we blow up the myth that you're meant to be well-rounded and independent. Here, we uncover what makes you uniquely awesome while also giving you actionable insights in to fill those gaps of the not-so-awesome. You are perfectly lopsided. Own it. Now let's dive in.
Well, hey, welcome to this live coaching session of the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur. My name is Alyssa Dare Nelson, and I'm really excited to introduce our guest today. This podcast is for not only entrepreneurs, but wantrepreneurs. And wantrepreneurs are people who are got a good idea and they want to get it started, but they just don't quite know exactly how. Or maybe you're in a business and you're like, you know, I think it's time for me to pivot and shift businesses and start a new business. Either way, launching a new business can be very, very overwhelming. So I thought that this was a really important episode. So our guest today is Thel Su Mon. Now, she has been a member of our Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur community since when we were Maximize Your Strengths. And so she's been with us for quite a while. She knows her strengths. She's been exploring her strengths. And she is ready to launch a business. And that's why I chose her to be on this live coaching session today. She's really a great human being, and I can't wait to introduce her to you. Sue, thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for interviewing me.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about just how frickin' awesome you are. This is how we always start these episodes because it's really important to understand first with confidence just how amazing you are. One of the things that sabotages us the fastest is our self-doubt, is our belief that, you know, I'm not anything special. I'm nobody special. I don't have anything special to offer. And I stomp my feet and say, darn it, that is false. So we've got these four different aspects of our humanhood that really sets us apart. So Sue, can you tell us a little bit about your background, who you are as a person? I know that you're a mom of a beautiful four-year-old girl. You're married. Give us a little bit of background about, you know, what pertinent life experiences you've had that kind of drive you and some of your education and your values. Tell us about you, and then we'll dive a little bit into your strength themes.
My name is Thel Su Mon. I'm actually originally from Myanmar. I've been in Singapore for 15 years. I came to Singapore since I was 17 years old, and I studied in Singapore. I study information and communication technology, and I have been working in IT for like 10 over years. And currently, I'm actually doing project management around 5 years already. And I have been doing a lot of volunteer works on teaching as well. I really love to share with others, and I really love to inspire others.
Mm. And what kind of teaching are you doing in your volunteering?
I'm doing a project management training to the project managers and the team members. Yep.
Excellent, excellent. And all of your project management is in IT at this point?
Project management is not really a domain specific, so it can be from the different backgrounds. Some are from the production, some can be from the finance, and some of my students, they are more from the IT and the construction side.
Okay, excellent. So I want to get to a little bit of what your values are. You love what you do, but you know that there's more out there for you. What is really important to you? I know that it's important to you to be a mom, to be a good wife, and all of those other things that as women, we, you know, look at our children and you go, oh my gosh, I have to be the best mom. It is now time for me to fulfill my potential, right? I think that that happens to a lot of us. But tell us a little bit about, you know, your values and what's important to you.
My top driven values, and I'm not sure whether is it a good thing or not, it's the I value a lot of other people's opinion. I like to be inspired, and I really want to make an impact in other people's life.
Now, when you say you value other people's opinions, is that like, well, tell us a little bit more about that, because I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that. Is it more like you like the connection that you make with others? And so it's connecting with others and having that conversation? Or is it like you kind of get bogged down with what they think is important over what you think is important?
Sometimes I like to help people a lot. Like I have this kind of energy that when somebody is in need help, somebody is they need my help, and then I feel there's a certain kind of energy rising in me that I can push myself towards and all this. And I love sharing as well. So when I were teaching people and when I'm actually training them and all this, I totally forget about everything. And then I can, you know, just focus on that. And then it just like there's so much energy going on me. But there are some instances like some people criticize me and then they actually, you know, tell me bad things about myself. My energy can really go down as well. So yeah. This is kind of a pattern with me that, you know, other people's opinion matters a lot to me. But yeah. Sometimes they do benefit me as well.
Right. And I, you know what, here's the thing is that sort of plaguing that we sometimes have about caring what other people think, it haunts all of us to some degree or another. And that has a biological base for it. Back in caveman days, right? If you were ostracized by the community, if you were, you know, rejected by the community, it meant that you were going to have to fight it on your own and, you know, fight the saber-tooth tigers and all of that on your own. And so being a part of the community and not getting sort of kicked out was vital to survival. And so when it comes to wanting other people's approval, that's where that biological drive comes from, that we want to be accepted by the people around us. And what's interesting is oftentimes we find ourselves putting our own dreams, desires, what we know to be good, the best thing for us on the back burner because, well, what if someone else thinks this is a stupid idea? Or what if, you know, I don't get the approval of this person or that person? And so really choosing carefully, whose opinion do I care about? And as you grow in your confidence of who you are and what you have to offer, the person's opinion that you're going to care about the most is your own. Is this right for me? And if so, well, then it doesn't matter that my neighbor doesn't really like what I'm doing because she's not putting the roof over my head. Or, you know, it might not matter what your cousin says or somebody else. The challenge is the people that have always been important to you, like your spouse, like your parents, like your siblings. Those opinions, while they're meant to often protect you because they don't want to see you hurt either, sometimes also hold you back. And those are the hardest ones, I think, to really challenge and go, you know what, but I know this is right for me. And so I have to say, I'm going to do this anyway. But you're not alone there. Our, you know, others' opinions of us does matter because we don't want to feel rejected. The question is, does your opinion matter as much as theirs? Because it should actually matter more than their opinion. So I think this is a really great place to talk about your strength themes. Your top five Clifton strengths or Strengths Finder themes are futuristic, competition, intellection, empathy, and adaptability. And it's such a beautiful combination. You've got some thinking themes and competition is an influencing theme even though it in fact drives you a lot to take action. Empathy and adaptability, relationship building themes. So that you want to connect with others, that you want to connect with their feelings, that their feelings matter to you. Of course, because you've got this empathy, right? That you're connecting, you're feeling their feelings. And so it really is a gift, empathy is. I would love to see how your competition, which is a strength theme that sometimes gets a bad rap, and I think I've talked about this, maybe not in the Freaking Awesome Entrepreneur podcast, but in the Maximize Your Strengths podcast for sure, about how competition gets a bad rap because people think, oh, someone who is super, super competitive will do anything to win, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, 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 no. Competition is a beautiful theme. And what it does is it's all about measurement. And so it's all about, you know, benchmarking things and wanting to know, like, what is the measure here? How close to the finish of the project are we? Are we 50%? Are we 25%? You know, if it's something, if it's a task that you've done in the past, can I do it faster? Can I do it better? And so the best application of that competition is in the influencing portion, which is getting the whole team up to say, hey guys, let's go. We got this. We're going to win. We're going to end on top, right? And getting the whole gang on board. But the other thing it's beautiful at is setting the bar high for yourself and then being a better you the next day and a better you the next day and a better you the next day. And you can use that to drive you to your next goal. And so it's really, really great. Now you also have this adaptability theme, and adaptability is like water. So if you pour, you know, 5 gallons of water down a channel, right? The water will absolutely zip right down the channel, and it will, doesn't matter if there's gravel or rocks in the channel, it will go around them, under them. It will get to that goal. Right? But if you pour that same 5 gallons of water on a flat pavement, the water just kind of goes, right? So adaptability as a strength theme can go under, around, you know, over. It's one of the best obstacle overcomers of any theme, but it has to have a goal. And so, Sue, I would love for you to share with us, what is your biggest challenge right now as you're moving forward with your goals? When you submitted your application to be on the show, what I noticed right away was your adaptability theme. And I thought, I wonder if we can channel this adaptability theme, if we can overcome this obstacle. So tell us what your challenge is right now.
What you say just now about the competition is totally right. I'm always looking for what is my next competition. You know, after I win this, and then what is the next step? Then I'm always comparing myself, you know, again and again. And then competition drive me, give me a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, it could be the adaptability thing, because there is no direction. Like, you know, when I see this competition, I need to win. So when I want to compare with this person, then, you know, I want to do this kind of thing. And then when I see next person that is doing well, then, you know, why I can't do this? You know, like, why am I not enough? Then I need to try this again. It's like, I want to go in every directions, but then there is no focus. But then constantly I'm beating myself up again that, you know, I'm good enough.
Yeah. Oh, this is so good. And what you're seeing, what you're experiencing is your competition theme and your adaptability theme coming together, right? So, and remember, if adaptability doesn't have a clear goal, it'll go anywhere. Right? Because that's what it does. It's like, okay, I'll go with the flow. I can do this. And your competition theme right now is driving your bus. And so you notice something and you're like, ooh, that person is doing well. I can compete there. I can compete here. I can compete there. So if we can together really focus in on what's important to you, what is the competition that you want to engage in? What is that business that will create what's important to you, which is impacting others, training others, and maybe engaging your background with your IT? What is that thing that you can uniquely offer that you can go, you know what, this competition, it's on. It's on, and I'm going to win this one. And I'm going to continue to win tomorrow and the next day and the next day because I'm going to keep driving. So let's work on getting your focus where it's going to actually serve you. So when it comes to the business, the type of business that you want to start, do you have a clear idea about that?
It kind of like sometimes I know what I really want to do. But there's another part that, you know, is it really something that I really want to pursue? Maybe, you know, because sometimes I don't really like, I can't 100% focus on that. So maybe is there something else that I can do, that kind of thing?
Okay.
Yeah. And then when I see someone that was doing well and all this, then I will come back to my self blaming pattern again, that, you know, I'm not good enough.
Yeah. So what is it that you really want to do?
I want to be a trainer, and I also want to be a public speaker who can make an impact in other people's life.
Okay. What kind of impact?
Positive impact, that I want them to be a more self-confidence. I want them to, I actually want them to make the world beautiful. I'm not sure whether I'm too idealistic, but I feel that the world out there need more positive people, mm-hmm. because every day we see in the news is all about bad stuff.
Yeah. So I hear you're futuristic, making a showing here, right? The futuristic is a strength theme that loves to be visionary, right? Futuristic is gifted at vision casting. And so what you see of the current world, you know that our future world could be a beautiful place, right?
Yep.
So when you think about making the world a more beautiful place, and you talked a little bit about encouraging people to be more self-confident, what do you see when you think about the world being a beautiful place? What does that mean to you?
Okay, the thing is, every time when I hear the bad news, bad stuff, like, you know, people get raped, the woman doesn't really have a much rights and all this, I feel it as if it's happening to me, and especially about the children. When I hear the bad news, it literally took me down, that my heart, whole heart is like feeling it is happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I really need to help.
Yeah. Yeah. and there's that empathy again, right? When something happens to somebody else, you literally feel their pain. This is not a sympathy thing. It's not even empathy in the classic way that we would think about empathy, like really like, oh, putting yourself in their shoes. You can feel what they're feeling, and it's excruciating, right? So,
yeah. Especially someone is crying in front of me, I would really, I'm also like trying not to cry, but I will also cry as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's okay to enter into that space with them. One thing that I encourage with the theme of empathy is that empathy is can burn out. And what I mean by that is when you take on other people's stuff, and this is an overuse pattern of empathy. And so just being aware of it can actually help to build that boundary. Brené Brown says the most solid people, the most who are sort of the people who are the most confident and compassionate are the people who are the best boundaried. And what she means by that is that she lets other people own their own stuff, and she takes responsibility for her stuff. So when you've got your empathy and you can feel other people's feelings and what they're going through in a really real way, as if you are in their skin, it's important to go, okay, but this is their pain. I can hug them, and I can cry with them, and I can be with them, and I can let that drive me to help solve this problem, right? But it's still theirs. And at the end of the day, you have to be able to sort of set that boundary and say, I need you to take your stuff. And you don't have to say this out loud, but really for yourself, I need you to hold on to your pain. I'll be here with you. I will hold the space. But then I have to go back to my joyful life, right? And you see doctors, nurses, therapists, coaches who have high empathy burning out because they take on too much of their clients or patients' families' stuff. And so getting really clear about what your boundaries are when it comes to taking calls in the middle of the night. You have a friend who's hurting and you take her call, but you're in the middle of dinner with your family. What are those boundaries that that other people don't get to be in your emotional space? So I'm gonna actually leave that as sort of an assignment to you, is to think about what are the boundaries that you want to put around your empathy so that you don't walk around in this heartbroken state because you're taking on other people's heartbreaks, other people's pain. But also that pain, you know it's there and it can drive you to a better and more beautiful place. So you talked about making the world a better place, and you talked about women, you talked about children and helping them to avoid pain. And then you talked about self-confidence. And it's interesting because we chatted at the beginning about how you do care a lot about what other people think, right? And part of your journey to being able to stand up and say, yep, this is what I want. This is the path I'm going to pursue. And I don't care if no one else likes it. This is the path I know that I'm meant to pursue. It's interesting, right? Because, and I've said this about myself a lot, is that the message that you're meant to give out in the world is often the one that we need to learn the most. And so really embracing your strengths, your values, your education, your drive, what gives you energy, and having confidence in that and knowing that, hey, I don't have everything, but guess what? I don't have to be everything. I just get to be me. And tomorrow I get to be a better version of me, right? Use that competition to grow into not a second version of somebody else, but the best version of you. Let that competition drive you. I would love to see you take some time here and think about, as you know, the women and the children came up, and really identifying what does a more beautiful tomorrow, future, right, look like exactly? Does it mean empowered women? Does it mean empowered children? You know, are you interested in training in schools and getting the children to have some more confidence? And maybe that confidence comes in, you know, training women in IT. There's not enough women in IT. You know, is that your path? So when you think about training and empowering, do you have a picture, Sue, of who you're training? Is it women? Who is that? And when you're training, and you can inspire people to be more self-confident and train an actual skill at the same time, is there a combination of that? Or what does that look like for you? What's that picture?
I think for the current moment, the futuristic part of me is a bit weak for now, that I can't really see myself out there yet. Like, there is no clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there is I know what I really want, but then there is another part that's not true. Like, is it really what I want? Currently, I'm doing a lot of trainings and all this, but I can't see the future, which actually drive me to sometimes I will procrastinate and I won't do stuff just because I can't see the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't want to just do it for the money. And I hate that part about, like, you know, you want to have money and all this. I want to have more, like, there's a cause that I really believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I need this strong cause that,
yeah,
which to drive me to do what I really want to do.
You've hit on something amazing. And there's actually several things that I want to touch on here. Number one, when futuristic doesn't have a clear vision, it does get stuck. Okay. And so it actually will freeze you completely, which is really frustrating for your competition theme, right? Because your competition theme is always driving forward and trying to win. So, and I believe, Sue, that the reason that your futuristic doesn't have that vision is that you just don't believe that it's possible for you. You've said several times here, I know what I want to do, but I just, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's the right thing. So I believe that the divine, whatever faith base that you are, that the divine puts things on our hearts, and it's our job to figure out how we're going to get to that finish line. So what I want you to do is channel your competition to that. This is what I want to do. I know what I want to do. It wouldn't be given to you if you didn't have the tools inside you already to complete it. So you're getting your self-doubt, right? You're letting that stop you. And the reason that your futuristic is so clouded right now is that you've got this giant-sized self-doubt that goes, but not me. Not me. And I would say, oh, no, 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 you. Now, does that mean that you're going to be a stage speaker tomorrow, that you're going to be training tomorrow? You know, you're doing your IT trainings, but that's not what's driving you right now, right? So what is it that you want to train? And I want you to spend some time really journaling about what it is that I want. If no obstacles were there, and I actually believed that I was capable, what is it that I would do? And this is just for you. So it doesn't have to be perfect, right? It doesn't have to, and it can be as ridiculous as you want it to be and as ridiculous as you might think it is. But here's the thing is that you write that dream down and that dream is yours for the taking, but it's going to take work. And it's going to take pushing through your own self-doubt. It's going to be developing your self-confidence in a way that you never have before. Because guess what? If you want to teach and help other people see their own self-confidence, you have to walk that journey yourself. And I believe it's in you. I believe it's in you. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, I wish money wasn't there. I wish money wasn't even a thing. Like, I just want to get involved in a cause. You're right. That is a challenge for those of us in the helping and caring fields. Like, I just want to help everybody. But here's the thing is that if you can't charge what you're worth and you can't put a roof over your head, you can't keep doing what you're doing. You can't continue to impact people. You can't stay in business. And right now, because you're not charging for some of these things, right? Of course, you can't be making the impact that you want to be making. So in order to make that maximal impact, charging for it, charging what you're worth is part of teaching yourself that self-confidence and helping to teach others. Guess what? You can ask for what you're worth. And I will say as well that when it comes to charging people, right, for your great services, that they will put it, they will invest as much time and energy into it as what they think it's worth. And guess what? The easiest way to measure that is money. So in order for them to have skin in the game and to really put forth the effort that they need in order to make their own transformation, whether that's a transformation in education, right? Knowledge, whether that's a transformation inside of them or both, they have to be investing money. It's just how, that's just how our brains work. One of my favorite quotes is one by a sales coach that I've used, a great guy, Adam Urbanski. And the quote says, money does not buy happiness, but it buys a lot of solutions. And I'll even one up you on this. There's a quote from Joe Polish who says, hey, those who say that money can't buy happiness haven't given enough away. Right? So let's take the lid off of what money means. If you're a good human, and Sue, you are, if you're a good human, then money will only make you more of what you are. If you're a terrible human being, then having lots of money will only make you a more terrible human being because it gives you more options. But you're a good human being. So having abundant money is only going to incredibly magnify the amount of impact that you can make. So, okay, I rambled on a lot there. So there's a lot of things and I want to recap just a little bit because I am sending you away here with lots and lots of thinking, journaling, and sort of assignments because I want you to get super clear on this. Number one is I want you to write over and over and over again, daily affirmation that the dream in my heart is possible. I don't have the timeline for that. And so don't put a timeline on it right now. But I want you to over and over and over again say, the dream in my heart is possible. So that's number one, because you have to believe it for yourself. Number two, I want you to journal, what is it that I really want to do? As ridiculous as my brain thinks it is, because I'm not self-confident yet. As ridiculous as it is, what do I really want to do? And then I want you to set your competition theme to work and say, okay, so I need to take one step closer to that today. And I need to take one step closer to that the next day. And I want you to start measuring. I want you to start measuring because your competition theme will thrive on that measurement. So once you get clear on what it is that you really want to do, and you know it in your heart, you just haven't let your brain get there yet because you've let yourself stop, right? So once you get clear on what is it that I want to do, now that's your sight. That's where you get your adaptability to focus on. Yep, this is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going. I'm going to go over, around, under, above. I'm going to get to that goal. And you set your competition theme on its path one day after another, after another. And no longer do you have competition outside of yourself. You have only yourself to compete with. Because here's the thing is that you can compete all day long with other people, but it doesn't matter because they're different people. They have a different background. They have different resources. They have different drives, different values. They have different strength themes. It's different. So the only actual apples to apples competition that you have is yourself. So if you want accurate measurement, the only person that you can look at is you. And isn't that amazing that there really is no other comparison? Nobody compares to you. Nobody. You only get to compare to yourself. So that's that. And Sue, you know, once you get that, you're not going to be distracted anymore. Focus won't be an issue. Is it a daily issue? Well, sure. Because you know what? Stuff gets scary. I mean, really scary. Really scary. One book that I would encourage you to read is The 5-Second Rule by Mel Robbins.
Oh, I did read it.
Oh, yeah. So good.
I read that.
So yeah. Good. And I want you to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah.
Right? So very quickly, the 5-second rule is where you know that you should do something, right? But you hesitate, you procrastinate. Okay, this is the best way to get beyond that procrastination. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Right?
I'd like to add on one more point that about the competition. It's that sometimes my futuristic can find the direction, but my competition need to win. If not, then I feel myself as a stagnant. So I will find some battles that I can win. Yeah. So I will do other stuff, and then the adaptability come in, and then I will lose directions.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Thank you for mentioning that, because here's the thing is that this dream you have in your heart is not just a marathon, it's an ultra marathon, right? Yeah. And your competition is a sprinter. Yeah. Okay. So you cannot sprint 100 miles. You'll die on the side of the road. It cannot happen. So in order for your competition to thrive, you must give it shorter sprints. Right? And that's why I talk about what one thing can you do today to get closer to that dream, right? So shift your thinking, because this dream you have in your heart is not a 200 meter sprint. It's a marathon, and it's a long marathon. And it's okay, because I tell you what, that journey of that marathon will be so worth it. We often overestimate what we can do in a year and underestimate what we can do in 10. Right? So if you just continue to take one step, one step, one step, and continue to remind yourself every single day, this is what I'm going towards. This is what I'm going towards. You will give your competition some legs so that it can go, okay, am I doing better than I did yesterday? Yep. Okay, good. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, take action. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, take action. And that's how you get over those fears of inadequacy, is by taking action. And every single day you prove to yourself, yep, guess what? I am courageous. I am self-confident. And I can do it by 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And that's how you progressively build that self-confidence, knowing, you know, this stuff, this head knowledge, knowing what your themes are, knowing your life experience, knowing your education and what you have to bring to the table. That is a vital first step, but you must take action on it, or you end up frustrated and depressed. And that's human, right? So reframe this dream of yours. Recognize that it's okay that this dream might not happen in a year. It's okay that this dream might not happen in 2 years. But if you wait 2 years to start it, you're going to be 2-3 years further behind. So start now, start small, and give your competition those little steps that it can get closer and closer and closer to. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. A lot makes sense.
Okay. So I'm super excited. By the time that this episode goes live here, it's been a couple of months for you to go to work and do some of these things. So journaling, what is it that you really want to do? And getting clear on what is the measurement of that? And growing that self-confidence, 1 5-second decision at a time. If you need to reread the 5-second rule, go reread it. And then what we're going to do is we're going to come back together in the Facebook group. So if you haven't joined the Facebook group, I want you to get over and join the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Facebook group, because we're going to have Thel back on the Friday after her episode goes live to talk about, okay, how have the last several months gone? What does this look like? What have you accomplished already? So I'm putting a deadline for you, Sue, on this as well.
Yep.
So that you've got some action steps that you can take over the next several months to get into action. And I'm super excited about what's going to develop for you, what kind of focus and clarity is going to develop for you.
Yep. I'm excited too.
Awesome. Well, so people can connect with you in the Frickin' Awesome Entrepreneur Facebook group. So again, yep. If you haven't joined, get in there. Sue's going to be
I'm already there. Yep.
And engage there. Where else can people connect with you, or is that the best place?
I have a Facebook page as well. THESUMON.PMP.
Okay, excellent. And that link will also be in the show notes for you guys if you want to connect with her that way as well. But certainly in that Facebook group where we are together tackling the challenges that we're having every single day and saying with pride and with confidence just how freaking awesome we are. We need both parts of that, ladies and gents, in order to really fulfill our potential, in order to really fulfill the impact that we were meant to do and to have on this world. Because here's the deal, is that the divine did not have time to make junk. So the fact that you are here on this earth right now means that you have something spectacular to give, and it is your responsibility to get out there and do it. Sue, thank you so much for taking the time. I can't wait to see
what kind of
progress you make just over the next couple of months here. I can't wait to hear an update.
Thank you so much too. You helped me a lot.
And now it's time for the podcast recommendation of the week. Sue and I talked about taking an idea, getting past some of those limiting beliefs, and transforming that idea into a business that has real revenue. Now, with that in mind, our podcast recommendation of the week is James Wedmore's Mind Your Business podcast. James says it better than I possibly could, so this is how he explains this podcast. At the intersection of entrepreneurship and spirituality, the Mind Your Business podcast untangles the misconception that hustle and hard work are all it takes to be successful. James invites listeners to explore the patterns that shape your thoughts and behavior, and expand your awareness of what truly is possible. I love this podcast because James doesn't ignore the logistics of business, but he brings you into a place to synergize your inner game with your outer game. You can find the Mind Your Business podcast on iTunes or anywhere else you like to listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd be honored if you'd leave a review over on iTunes. Every single review means the world to me. To know you're listening and to know you're finding value makes this whole thing worthwhile. And hey, while you're over there, click on subscribe to make sure you're notified of future episodes. Until next time, keep being frickin' awesome.